Okay, folks, welcome to the program today. Glad to have you here. We're looking at already, we're at the 10th of December, and we're just about 3-4 weeks to the new year. I guess really 3 weeks, and we'll be in 2022, a year that many things will happen that will be probably stranger even than this year. We will see, won't we? Because it's not far off. and their plans are wicked, the wicked ones that are anti-Christ and anti-God. But in Jesus' name, we will prevail, for we are the children of the living God, who is bigger than any devil, bigger than any plan of darkness, and he will have the final say, amen. But we'll get into a little bit of news this evening. We start the program. Food prices continue to skyrocket under the evil Biden inflation, fastest in 40 years. Consumer prices are soar at 6.8%. You've probably noticed things are higher at the grocery store. I have. So when's it going to end? Yeah, don't know. But we just have to trust that the Lord is going to take care of us, right? He promised, and he will. And we have a problem among 9 through 12-year-olds. Sexting doubles among the 9 through 12-year-olds. New study finds extreme sexual stuff that parents have no idea is going on. 9 through 12-year-olds texting nude pictures of themselves to one another. That's and other things that I'm not going to mention here, but yeah. So the enemy is trying to get a hold of them as young as he can. You know that. He tried to get a hold of you and me as young as he could. But in Jesus' name, God is going to have a remnant. No matter what. Texas Right to Life group, a Texas pro-life group, receives a bomb threat at its Austin, Texas office, allegedly due to its support of the heartbeat abortion ban of Texas. And then the Supreme Court, they said that this new law in Texas will stand. They're not going to get rid of it. They're going to keep on with it. Keep on allowing Texas to have their heartbeat law. So they did say that, well, they can sue Texas. People can sue Texas if they want to, but they're going to leave the abortion ban in place. And they deny Biden's attempt to stop the Texas abortion law. The Supreme Court did. Well, they did something good, maybe. We don't know all the details. But Suicide Death Pod, which is looks like some kind of little spaceship or something, if you've seen it, offering what they call very comfortable death, has now been approved in Switzerland. That's right. It's called the Suicide Death Pod, really. I don't know what they call it, but that's what, you know, it needs to be called. I guess that might be what they call it, the death pod. But anyway, that's sad. So people could just go commit suicide, get in that little pod and have a very comfortable death. I don't think it's as comfortable as they think. Because lost people dying is not comfortable. When they die, they face darkness. Not light. Lawsuits mount against hospitals that are banning ivermectin. You know, I know of those who have been refused ivermectin at hospitals. And the hands of a doctor supposedly have been tied. Well, they actually awarded to use the wrong thing. The things that the government wants them to use and policy wants them to use. And lying Fauci says Americans may need a Now I need a third COVID vaccine shot to qualify as fully vaccinated, and then a fourth booster to be required in the near future. Yeah, it'll never end until everybody's dead from these dangerous vaccines. That's just a thought, but yeah. George Soros has plowed $3 million of dark money into BLM activists pushing to defund the police. Get rid of the police, and who's going to protect people? Who's going to be out there? Yeah. Phoenix Zoo gives special COVID jabs to 75 animals, including orangutans, fruit bats, and big cats, to prevent the spread because creatures are being infected by visitors to the zoo. And yeah, been proven that the vaccinated are often infecting others, and evidently they're infecting animals. But yeah, according to doctors and McCullough and others, vaccinated are infecting people who are not vaccinated. Well, did you know there are only 644,000 pilots in the United States of America in a nation of 328 million? That's right. Aviators are outnumbered 500 to 1. Bet you didn't know that. There's only so many pilots out there. And because it costs so much to become one nowadays, yeah, most people don't have the money to go out and become a pilot. And so there's going to be a pilot shortage maybe. We'll see what the future holds. Anyway, customer hypnotized a shoe store worker, 30-year-old woman. After hypnotizing her, he raped her at an Italian shoe store. And the victim only realized what had been happened to her after watching the store's closed-circuit television the next day. She saw what had happened. And yeah, people can be demonically manipulated through hypnotism. And so don't think of it as something little innocent, nothing, because you will pick up demons and you can be manipulated mentally to do things you wouldn't ordinarily do and say things you wouldn't ordinarily say. So, yeah, don't just go allowing yourself to be hypnotized thinking there's no harm in it. Oh, yeah, there's harm in it. There's danger there, as you see from this story. More than 40 camels are disqualified from the $65 million Saudi camel beauty pageant after dozens of animals were given Botox and facelifts and muscle-boosting hormones. Kind of ridiculous if you ask me, but I looked at some of those pictures of these camels, and some of them have their lips ruined for life trying to make them bigger than they normally are. And they're all made to look like it's some fancy camel. But anyway, they spend $65 million on that. That's kind of amazing, but I guess the Saudis have a lot of money to spend, huh? Due to all that oil, and now being Biden only shutting down the American reserve and getting it all from outside sources again. Something's wrong with that picture when we have enough here. But that just shows the corruption that's going on and the evil out there. Well, we want to pray for someone who broke their back. They got in an auto accident. Someone hit them. And they broke their back for the second time, and Lord have mercy on them. I want to pray for them and their family tonight, that the Lord will heal that back quickly and minister to them and meet their needs and take care of them through this time, and bring a quick and rapid recovery in Jesus' name. So, Father, we pray for the person who had their back broken for the second time, and Lord, we just ask for healing for them immediately, Father, that you would touch their body, that you would relieve the pain, that you would strengthen their family and minister to them all, Lord. And Father, we just rebuke this thing that has happened, an accident happening to them, and we rebuke these accidents no more in Jesus' name. We break the curse of all these accidents in Jesus' name and pray for, Lord, health and protection on all of them, Lord, and minister to them and meet their needs, Father, in Jesus' name. We just ask you to bless them and during this time and draw them all closer to you. And, Lord, let the healing power be upon the back in Jesus' name. For your glory, Father, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for ministering to them. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, that's very sad to hear. And I hear sad things pretty much every week, things that happen heard of someone that was murdered by a BLM, was shot and killed by a BLM, Black Lives Matter person. That's tragic to see this stuff going on, and yet George Soros is funding them? Really? I heard of someone else getting COVID this week, and someone that I personally know, and it's just so many things you hear of. People under attack by the enemy. We need to resist the enemy, and he will flee, but it's not without a warfare. And so we recognize that we're in the midst of a great battle, a battle for mankind, humankind, and their spirit. So Satan wants to take everybody into darkness, that no one would be saved, because he hates God and he hates humans. So he wants our destruction. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, we have the authority over him, and we need to be using it, folks, because I tell you, we're living in latter days, and these days will be shortened, thus there would be none of the elect saved, right? He shortens those days. So they get so wicked, and really, if you knew all the truly knew all the wickedness that was going on, and we don't know so much of it, it would just probably overwhelm you. There's just so much evil in this world, so much perversion, so much darkness that's been released, and people are partaking of it. And, you know, there's no question that the Democrats hate life because they won't kill babies. No question about where they stand. Yeah, they hate little babies. They want to support abortion and see them little ones killed in their mother's womb before they ever have a chance to live and be something in this world and perhaps get born again and get saved. So that's tragic, isn't it? We pray, Father, in Jesus' name for these little ones, Father, that they will have a chance at life. And we thank you for the states that are standing up against abortion and passing laws to allow these babies to be born so that they have a chance to live and a chance to receive Jesus. So, Father, we pray for more and more people to come out and stand up against abortion in Jesus' name. And that devil will not prevail. That little devil that are calling babies to be sacrificed to Satan through the abortion industry. We rebuke that devil. We rebuke all those devils that are involved in that in the name of Jesus. We pray people's eyes would be open in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing of being able to gather together tonight and minister by the power of your Spirit. We thank you for this time that we have together. We thank you for every listener to the broadcast. We pray you protect them, Lord, protect their bodies, their physical bodies from accidents and sicknesses and diseases. Father, we pray you meet their financial needs and all their bills. And Lord, that you provide abundance of supply, of food for them, that they'd be able to eat and have a roof over their head, Father. And Lord, we thank you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. No weapon formed against me, my family, shall prosper in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the enemy tonight in Jesus' name. And we say, no, devil, you can't have us. We belong to Jesus. We belong to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they're going to take care of us all the days of our life upon this wicked world and bring us into glory. We thank you for that. Thank you that the Lord is taking care of us. The Lord is leading us. The Lord is guiding us. The Lord is delivering us from the powers of the enemy as we grow in deliverance and we grow in grace and truth. Thank you for that, Lord. We praise you and worship you tonight, Lord, that you are good and your mercies endure to all generations, Father, that every generation here can get saved if they choose to. But Lord, not many are choosing to, although there is a remnant that is getting saved. And I thank you for every one of them. And I thank you for a harvest in these latter days, Father, even this time of year, when some people might listen and receive salvation, Father. in Jesus' name, even though it's a pagan holiday, Father. Some people, you know, related to Christ, and they're more open to the gospel. So I pray that they would get saved, Father, that you would send the workers out into the harvest, Lord, and use me as well, Father, as well as the listeners, Lord. Give us those divine appointments to share Jesus with somebody, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. Thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders in our life, Father, that we will see miracles, signs, and wonders. We thank you that we'll see more. We thank you for divine healing and health, Father. We thank you, Lord, for souls saved, people that are getting saved, Father. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance, Lord, and setting captives free in Jesus' name. And Lord, we give you glory for this program tonight, Father, in advance, Father, and we pray now that you bless the program. We pray that your hand would be upon it, Father, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will manifest, and Lord, the power of God will manifest as well, and Lord, changes will take place, deliverance will take place, Father, and we give you the praise and the glory for this time that we have together, and we cover it with the blood of Jesus, and thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name, and we commit this time to you and glorify your name, and thank you for working in our lives mightily, Father, in Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. So here we are going off with taking off into the message here at the Oasis Community Church broadcast here tonight, Father. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Lord. Amen. So seeking the kingdom. Are you seeking the kingdom? What kingdom are you seeking? You know, we live in a time when we see the kingdom of Satan look like it is making great, great gains. And people are going into greater and greater bondage to our enemy, it appears, you know, but we don't see everything, okay, and God is moving. But the deceptions of Satan are taking hold on the majority of the population of planet Earth. And we're living in the latter days, and I've operated in deliverance and discernment of spirits for over 3 decades. And I've seen Christians with every kind of bondage and all kinds of demons. That's right. Christians, they can go around and play those games and act like they're no problems and enjoy looking at each other and how spiritual they supposedly are. Or we can humble ourselves and quit worrying about our spiritual image and admit, hey, we have troubles in our lives, and those troubles are demons. You know, pride keeps a lot of people from getting delivered. I'll just be telling you the truth here now. A lot of people are in pride today, and they don't get delivered because of their pride. And they don't want to admit they're this way or that way or have this problem or that problem. They don't want to admit. And listen, we have demons. Everybody has demons. There's nobody out in this world that doesn't have any demons. Your pride hinders your freedom. Remember, the word says God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble, and grace includes deliverance. So we could just as well say he giveth deliverance to the humble, because grace is deliverance as well as all those other things that he sends down. Every good and perfect gift comes from above through grace. Yeah. Your pridefulness blocks your deliverance. And hey, if the great apostle Paul had devils and he admitted it, that he did, you know, he admitted that he did what he didn't want to do, basically because it was a sin in his body, which he also said there was no good thing dwelling in his fleshly, in his flesh, which admitting that they're demons because there's something dwelling there, something living there. And we certainly all have demons too, if Paul did. So a big step toward deliverance and for deliverance is to admit that it's, you know, it's not so-and-so's fault. It's not your wife, not your husband, not your parents, not anyone else, but even though the demons may have come through some of them. It's you who need to be delivered and you who need to change. And we also need to know that legalism and hardness, being too hard, and saying it's the Bible is your reason for being hard and legalistic and too hard on people you know sometimes, can be just nothing but a cover for pride to keep you from being delivered and changing and to keep the focus on somebody else. Admit it. Right now, you and I, we all need more change in our lives. And really, the fact of the matter is most change doesn't come without deliverance, because there are demons that are dug in there within you and within me and within people. And if they weren't, you probably wouldn't need to change in those areas, right? Because there were no demons there causing you to behave in a certain manner or do certain things or act certain ways. So the fact of the matter is Christians all have their bondages. Some of them have sexual spirit. Some of them, hell, they have greed spirit. Some have idolatry spirit. Some have sports and recreation spirit. Some have love of the world spirit. Some have pride spirit. Some have a combination of these spirits, right? Some have lusting for stuff spirit. Just got to get more things. Some people live for buying stuff for themselves. Some have jealous spirit. That's right. Some have spirits just simply that are dominated by anxiety and fear. And some have spirits of greed. And on the list will go. And perhaps you need to adjust your priorities, though. What does the Bible say? Let's go over and read Matthew 6 here as we get into this. It's what, when a lot of people do in the church. They need to adjust their priorities because they're not doing this. What it says here, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the things the world seeks after, the clothing, the food, the home, the housing. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God in your life today, or are you letting the kingdom of Satan dominate your life? Some other kingdom come first. Perhaps it's the kingdom of football, the kingdom of movies, or TV. Or perhaps the kingdom of gaming, or self, or your job, or your next trip to the mall, or to the spend your money and charge things up on credit cards, whatever. So one good way to find out whether you're seeking first the kingdom of God is, what do you first think of when you wake up in the morning? Is it Jesus? Or is it what you're going to do today, and what you're going to get, or what you're going to gain, or what you're going to conquer, what you're going to do? It should be Jesus when you first wake up. What is on your mind should be your God. The problem in our country is we have so many other gods. Even in the church today, idolatry has invaded the church, and some wake up and they think of how much money they're going to make, or how they're going to get ahead in life, or what they're going to watch on TV, or their latest boyfriend, girlfriend, or having sex, or some other thing. But you know what I think about? You want to know what I think about when I get up in the morning? I think of Jesus. The fact of the matter is, even before I get up in the morning, I've been thinking of Jesus and talking to Jesus. Yeah, even while I'm sleeping, somehow I'm thinking of Jesus. And I don't understand that totally, but I know that it's happening, and maybe it's a semi kind of sleep. Jesus, I say thank you for another day. Be Lord of my life today. I seek first your kingdom today. I do this day after day after day after day. It's my life. Because I love Jesus, and he's very important in my life. He's the priority of my life. You get excited when it's time to go to church or fellowship around Jesus, or read your word, or pray? Or are you thinking of all you could be doing instead? If you have things before the kingdom of God, it's going to surface. I can tell you. But you're going to have to examine yourself, or the devil will hide it from you. I mean, know the devil hides a lot of things from a lot of Christians, everything he can get away with so that he can keep them in bondage as much of their life as he can. He could deceive them as long as he can. I know the devil's a liar and a deceiver. 2 Corinthians 13:5, he said, examine yourself, the Lord did, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Huh. That's pretty strong scripture. Yeah, the devil can have you self-deceived in many ways, so many ways. For example, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:13. This is an area that, hey, it's just a dominant area that in the church even, that so many Christians are deceived in. 6:13 of 1 Corinthians says here, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Well, how many believers fornicate? Too many. Too many are fornicating. Too many are having sex outside of marriage. In verse 15, let's jump down and read on a little further. 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that which is joined to the harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall become one flesh. Become one with a harlot or one with somebody that you're just having a fling with that you may not even marry. And doesn't make it right, even if you're going to marry them, to go fornicating with them, because you become soul tied with them and you become one flesh with them. How many people are one flesh with hundreds of people or 50 people or 20 people or even 10 people? I mean, they're scattered their soul around, their flesh around, and one flesh with all these different people. Well, that's not healthy for you. No wonder your mind is scattered and there's confusion in your life. Well, sexual sin certainly brings confusion, especially when you get into homosexuality. There's a lot of confusion there. Flee fornication, says in verse 18. Run from it. Don't run to it. Many Christians are running to it. But the Bible says to run away from it. Flee it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. You want to sin against your own body and devour your own body? Sin is a devourer. In the end, it produces death. Oh, but everybody's doing it. Yeah, the world is doing it. A lot of Christians are doing it, but the church shouldn't be fornicating, committing adultery, involved in perversion and pornography, in bondage to sexual sins of various kinds, such as masturbation, sexual uncleanness. Sexual sin in your life brings confusion and bondage to your life, and you need to guard what you allow into your mind. Guard yourself when you're on the internet. Satan has designed images and words to seduce you. Seduction is the name of one of his major games. He's going to try to seduce the people of God. He's already seduced the people of the world. Yeah, it's all designed to bring Christians into various bondages. People are drunk on perversion today, and they are staggering like a drunken person. I've scriptures that said that. Let's just read that tonight. Isaiah 19. And we're not just going to talk about sexual sin, but I felt the need to mention it. The Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in the mind thereof and caused Egypt to err in every work. Therefore, as a drunken man, they stagger in his vomit. Right? Perverse spirit in the midst, I'm sorry, thereof, not the mind, in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit, hath allowed because of sin. That's right. Many times when it says the Lord did it, it means he has allowed it because of their sin. And when people indulge in sexual perversion, bestiality, pornography, homosexuality, child sex, and porn, and oral sex, doing perverted things even with their own bodies and the bodies of others, unnatural things, eventually, if not right away, a reprobate mind comes in. Not to mention all the demons, too, that have moved in. Their minds are twisted. Can a Christian obtain a reprobate mind? Well, I think it's possible. But I think if they continue in it, it's going to lead them to fall away or turn away from the Lord. or to the turning over of them to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, right? That Paul had to do that with some so that their spirit could be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He turned them over for the destruction of their flesh. Wow. So, people are doing perversion and calling it normal today. Did you know that? Of course we've heard all that. And sin has twisted people today. They're twisted. So much so that the right is wrong and the good is evil and perversion is right and normal and darkness is light. And light is darkness? Really? Lies are the truth? That's the way it looks today? That's what a certain segment of society believes that way and thinks that way and operates that way. Is there no conviction? Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Listen, is that not the case today? My, what a society we live in today. What a world of destruction we live in. And how easily people bring self-destruction upon themselves because they're indulging in these things. See, remember, Satan and mankind have perverted everything. And they think their perversions are normal. Their perversions are not normal. That's right. And many Christians, they've heard the lies over and over, and now they partake of the perversions and think it's okay. They think it's normal. It's not okay. It's not normal. And it will still get you loaded up with devils, okay? The ungodly music, ungodly movies, the common cultural thought and activity controlled by your appetites, lust for power, wealth, and recognition, and sex, and a sexual uncleanness, and men, on and on the list. Go listen until you start taking dominion over the enemy and in your life and binding and loosing and warring against evil. You will walk in confusion and have a lot of personal bondages in your life. You're going to have them. Awake thou that sleepeth, the Bible says. Lift up those hands that droop down. Yeah, get out of the demonic stupor and clutter and drunkenness of this Babylonian system of this world. Some people say America's Babylon. I disagree with that. America alone by itself is not Babylon. Babylon is a whole ungodly world system. You know, Rome is Babylon. Australia is Babylon. England is Babylon. I mean, there's so much of Babylon and the Babylonian system, okay, today in this world. We're not the only Babylon, okay? See, you need to know where you're at in Jesus today. Are you serving him with all your heart, or are you just kind of half-heartedly following Christ? Another way you find out what's first in your life is when you go and try to pray. And everybody that prays can be attacked by the enemy. Don't get me wrong. But when you go try to pray, do you get distracted so easily that you just go do something else? Something else comes up and demands you go spend time doing that. And you don't fight through it and stay there and stay in prayer or Bible study or hell. Yeah. These are demonic distractions, folks. Isn't it funny how when you go to pray, everything else in the world seems to come up in your mind? See how demons work on you through that? You think it's just going to be easy peasy to go in and pray and seek God and get on your face before God or get in the Word? You think there's not going to be any resistance to that? Well, if you don't resist the devil when he's trying to resist you getting in those things of God, then he will prevail and you walk off. You'll go do something else. You'll get distracted. You'll say, well, I got to go eat, or I got to go do this, or I got to go feed the dog or the cat, or I got to go call so-and-so, or he'll have the phone ring and you'll get caught up with that. You say, Lord, I never seem to hear your voice. In fact, many have told me, I can't hear God. Well, have you been obedient to the Lord? Have you been obedient in the last thing that he did tell you and talk to you about? You know, many times once God has told you to do something or talk to you about something, maybe you won't hear anymore until you obey, you know, the last thing that he told you to do. So sometimes to get back on course, you need to go back and do what the last thing you heard God say and do it. Then you'll hear more because you'll be ready for more because you did what he told you to do. You walked in what he wanted you to walk in. Hallelujah. Some people got so off course because they just long time ago didn't go in what God wanted them to do. They ignored it. They say, why isn't God talking to me? Well, because if he talked to you, you wouldn't obey him anyway. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. And that was a word to Saul, but it was also a word to us. People say, well, I disobeyed God, but you know, I'm going to give him an offering. I'm going to sacrifice. And everything will be okay. Well, that's not so. You disobeyed. They'll offer you. You don't disobey God. They give him an offering like some kind of little something to pacify God. No, you were just disobedient. You just need to confess your disobedience. Instead of an offering of a tithe, God, I'm just going to give him a financial offering, or I'm just going to go do something serve at the soup kitchen or something. Serving at the soup kitchen doesn't take the place of your tithe. Doesn't take your place of giving unto God, but, you know, it also doesn't take the place of disobedience, see? Right? So if he told you to do something, say, well, you go serve at the soup kitchen, say, that'll pacify God. No, it won't. You need to confess your sin of disobedience and rebellion. See, if God tells you to do something, you have two choices. You can obey or you can disobey. And you need to develop your spiritual ears. Well, you can hear better, too. Another way to hear from God. Okay, first do what he last told you to do. Go back and deal with that. Next, develop your spiritual ears. Spiritual hearing, Mark 4:23. Mark 4:23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. So, you need to hear God, and then you'll hear more. Once you start hearing, start you be still, and know that I'm God, and you'll hear the still small voice. See, there are going to be many who think they are right, and that they have something, because they really have nothing, they're going to lose even that which they think they have. Right? That's what it just said here with what we just read. I mean, this is the great danger of religion and religious spirits operating in a person's life. They're making you think you have something when in reality you have nothing. But see, these religious devils, they, you really got it, man. you're the police of the body of Christ. You're the sheriff. You could trade everybody out because you really got it. They go around trying to force what they think they got through religion on everybody. And if people don't do it their way, then they say, you're wrong. And you're probably going to go to hell or something because you're so wrong. And all that stuff that religion does, you know. Jeremiah 5:21. Says, hear now this, O foolish people and without understanding. So there's people without, they're foolish and they don't have understanding. And these were the children of Israel he's talking to, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. See, there's a whole lot of people like that today. They have ears, they have eyes, they've been born again, but they can't see because the devil's blinded them. This is a serious condition to be in. Some today are so arrogant. And they are religious ivory towers today. But they think they have something. They have nothing. And that which they think they have, they'll lose it. they'll lose it. Okay? So what's first in your life today? Who's first in your life? The kingdom of God or something else? You always have an excuse or something else to do. And instead, when it comes to time to study his word, to pray, to seek God, serve God, obey God, tell me, is there anything more important than the kingdom of God, than the Lord, the king of the kingdom? Or where's your heart at today, do you know? Where's your spirit at? What consumes your mind today? The things of God or the things of this world? Fear and anxiety? That's what consumes a lot of Christians today. I hear it over and over from so many Christians, tormented with fear and anxiety. When the Bible says fear not, so why are we doing that? Somehow we're not being obedient to God. Somehow we're not listening to him. Somehow we're, the voice of fear and anxiety has a louder voice than the voice of God, or we're ignoring the voice of God and listening to the voice of fear and anxiety. These are demons. Why would we exalt the voice of a demon over the voice of our Lord? Why is the voice of a demon more real to you than the voice of your God? Could it be because you haven't been in the presence of your God, but you've sure been a lot in the presence of demons? Huh? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The heart is attached to the soul. The spirit is attached to the heart. I mean, you know, it's a gateway from the soul into the spirit. The heart is. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You will locate yourself whether you see it or not. Others who are discerning will see it, okay, whether you see it or not. God said, seek first the kingdom of God. He didn't say, seek first fear and anxiety. He didn't say, be under bondage to these things, to sexual sin or to some other kind of prideful thing. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. So what do you spend your time seeking? Something that will thrill your flesh? Something that will entertain and excite you? You know, there's some excitement that Christians are indulging in that they ought not be indulging in. These are things that excite them. They get excited sexually. They watch certain movies that have sexual content, and they get excited sexually. And why do you allow yourself to allow that to take place? Is it any wonder that God's people are living in so much fear and anxiety and bondage? I mean, they're too much dwelling on this life, the world, the things happening here, instead of the truth of the word of God, the truth that God has spoken. You know, I always enjoy reading, and I've read it many times, the kings of Judah and Israel, reading about them. And so remember the Old Testament, when a king did what was right in the sight of God, often the account follows, but the high places were not taken down. You remember that? You ever read that? But the high places were not removed. In fact, let's go read 1 Kings 15. I'll give you examples. 15:14. The 1 Kings 15:14. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Well, he was perfect, but he didn't remove his heart. He stayed right with the Lord, but he didn't deal with the high places. Didn't deal with the high places. For Old Testament Israel, the high places were pagan worship sites at or near the tops of hills and mountains. But for the church, they are strongholds in our personal lives and spiritual strongholds over cities, states, families. Yeah, they're just not being removed. They're not being taken down. They're not being pulled down. Yeah, people are not going up and pulling those high places down. See, there's been some major victory and some conquest, yet still the high places remain. The high places in this nation remain. The high places in our cities and our families still remain. Why? Because people are not pulling them down. They're not tearing down the high places. See, the church has yet to fully obey the word of God and put every enemy under their feet. A partial victory mentality is also a partial obedience mentality. I don't want to have a partial victory mentality. I don't want to have a partial obedience mentality. Do you? Well, I sure don't. I want to obey God. I want to be pleasing unto the master. It was amazing. A lot of these kings did most things right, but they ignored the high places. Are you going to let the demons stay in the places that they're embedded in your family? You're going to let those generational family lines, familiar bloodline curses remain stuck where they are? Why did the king not pull these things down? Well, they weren't always noticeable. That's one reason. It required too much. It required really seeking God and seeking first the kingdom. See? And so it required dealing with demons. Let's just face it. And a lot of people just don't want to deal with demons. They don't want to deal with them. Yet they're dealing with them all the time. They just don't know it because the demons are dealing with them. Right? Whether you're ignorant or whether you're just lazy, I don't know. But the matter is, I know the folks that listen to this program are not ignorant, but I'm telling the people out there in this world system, a lot of them are willfully ignorant. A lot of them don't want to know about demons because there's plenty of books about demons out there. There's plenty. They go to a Christian bookstore if you can find one anymore, and there are some out there. You can find Pigs in the Parlor. You can find some good Christian books on deliverance. This size Pigs in the Parlor, I mean, there's a lot of them that, you know, been written, Barry Prince, different ones that are out there that you can go to. And learn things about deliverance and warfare and all these different things. Hallelujah. Am I still on here, or did I get disconnected here? What happened? Okay. All right. That's good. Got it back. I thought I got disconnected. Something suddenly happened there. We rebuke you, devil, for doing that again. In Jesus' name, we cover this computer and this broadcast with the blood of Jesus right now. The enemy don't like being talked about this way and exposed. Yeah. So they ignored the high places. Something has got to happen to the people of God. Something's got to happen to us, which will prepare us to come against these evil fortifications over our lives, over our personal lives, over our marriages, our families, our children, our churches, our cities, our minds. See, one way the devil defeats us is he keeps the high places in place is by keeping us separated and divided. He puts breaches in our relationships. He puts breaches in our marriages. He puts, by getting us all upset about things that don't even really matter in the light of eternity. How many people have spent hours and hours in a situation of strife or arguing over something that doesn't even matter a bit? Not even a piece of sand in light of eternity. But the devil's got him going. He's got him in the position he wants him to keep him distracted, to keep him focused on their offense or their situation and how they've been treated, mistreated, and how they're offended. And, you know, it's so self. So the people are so self-centered in marriage, you know. That's why so many of the fights take place. That's why so many of the strife that goes on. People just thinking of themselves. You hurt my feelings. Poor thing, you. Grow up. Get over these things. And move on and start laying down your life for your mate again. Right? Sometimes you just need to shut up. Shut it down. And a soft answer turns away wrath. Start answering softly. Stop defending yourself. Stop fighting all the time. Stop arguing about things. Give place to those demons. Oh, yeah. That's petty strife and jealousy. Petty division. Competition. Even in the church. So-and-so looked at me wrong. They didn't speak to me. They didn't shake my hand. They didn't hug me today. So they must not like me. Really? You offended? like that? No, I know some people get offended all the time over little things that the person supposedly offended them doesn't even know they did, right? Yeah, they're absolutely unaware that they have been offensive to someone. But because a normal person wouldn't be offended about that. They wouldn't think twice about it. But if you have those spirits operating and attached, then they're going to make you think you got offended. They're going to mess with you. Right? Because there's a spirit of offense. There's a spirit working there of self-pity or a spirit of strife or a spirit of jealousy or a spirit of attention getting. I want that attention. I want to be noticed. I want to be patted. I want to be stroked. Really. So to seek first, really seek first the kingdom of God, and the first is to first walk together in unity, right? Are you walking together in unity in your home, or are you a divided house? You can't get an agreement with your wife, your husband. The place of agreement is a place of power. If two agree as touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them. You remember that scripture? Yeah, I'm looking up one here. So, Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Well, how many in a marriage? Two. Right? If you two can agree as touching anything you ask, it shall be done. Because there's power when two agree. But how can, no wonder the devil fights agreement between spouses so strongly. You see that? He doesn't want you agreeing. Look at Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Listen, if you're a man, your wife is your sister in the Lord as well. If you're a woman, your husband is your brother in the Lord as well. It is like the precious ointment upon the beard, upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Where did he command the blessing? Where there's unity. This is the place where God himself will command the blessing on you. All things will be added. Zion, the overcoming church, is corporate, unified, corporately unified. It's not just one individual, right? So to seek first the kingdom and have all added to you first, you seek God first. And then you seek to walk in unity and love with your brother and sister. Then you start pulling those high places down. They will come down. I'm telling you. You can pull them down. You can be the king and the priest that pulls down the high places. Amen? A lot of people won't pull them down like the kings of the Old Testament. But you can be a king because the Bible says you're a prophet, priest, and king. So you can pull them down. Okay? So, this is so important, folks, but this is also important. I want to talk to you about something too that's very important. In 1 Peter that goes with this here. 1 Peter 1:7. Let's go over there. 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found of the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. How many of you are going through things today in life and you don't understand why you're going through them? You don't like them. They're unpleasant. How many have been feeling like lately it's all that you could take, even to the breaking point? You feel like you're going to break under the stuff that you're dealing with, you're going through. How many have faced difficulties lately, just in this past few days, in the past week? See, all of us are going through stuff. The enemy attacks. But most of God's people don't recognize that God also will baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. And the fire sometimes comes And sometimes we blame the devil because, hey, God has got the purifying fire. He's wanting to get the junk out of your life. See? Now, I'm not saying what the devil's doing is God. Okay, it's not. But I am saying that sometimes fire is burning and you don't want it to burn because you don't want to change, right? Other times it's nothing but a demonic attack, and that's why you're going through these difficulties. You are being attacked by the enemy, and you are not standing up and warring against him to the point that he backs down. And I realize that sometimes the enemy, you know, he gets away with some stuff in our lives, and we hate it when it happens. And we need to just learn from that. Amen. And sometimes we think the devil is causing all our problems, but the devil is not in control either, totally. Got to remember that. God said he'll work in us until the day of Jesus Christ. And so God, you know, is going to do something in us. And the devil can't stop. He might hinder. He might harass. He might block some of the things of God, even slow it down. But God, if he determined to do something in you, he's going to do it in you. As long as you're willing, if you told him you're willing for him to do things in you and you're giving him your life, then he's going to do some things in you what he determined to do in us, right? But sometimes we're just going through the fires of purification and we don't like it and we don't want to be purified. We don't like to be made uncomfortable. But fire will burn out the junk in our life. And we don't like that. We don't like it, right? And sometimes we're going through the fires of purification, and it's determined by how stubborn we are as to how much fire we need to be in and how hot it's going to burn. It says here, baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And the fire is going to cause us to come forth as gold. And gold is the divine nature. That means we're going to be a manifestation of the divine nature more and more as that fire is allowed to burn and purify our lives. See? Amen. So we need a vision that will cause us to submit to the fires of God so that he can clean us up. Amen. We need to cherish and love God's fire, for it will refine us, the refiner's fire. And it will change us into his likeness and manifest forth the more of the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, here's a scripture that's often quoted, at least the first part. You've heard it, I'm sure. Let's go to Hosea 4:6. In fact, I've quoted to you many times, but I don't quote the whole scripture. So I want to read the whole scripture to you today because it's important. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, we all heard that, but let's read on. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. Oh, really? We're destroyed for lack of knowledge because we have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Well, now he may not reject us now under the new covenant, but the point is that we can reject our salvation under the new covenant, and then we could be rejected that way. But only because we renounce our salvation in one form or another. Okay? But notice. The point here is because we have rejected knowledge. We don't need to be rejecting knowledge. See? Because knowledge is the truth. I'm talking about knowledge of God's word, knowledge about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we reject truth or knowledge, we reject a part of Jesus, where it is by knowledge of him and from him that his life and his nature and his power is released in our lives. See? And it released other people's lives from our lives. And we want that to take place, don't we? We should want to manifest the power of God. We should want to manifest the miracle-working power of God in our lives. We should want other people to see the miracle-working power of God. We should want that to take place. Second Peter, let's go over there. Back over there. Second Peter, now. Hallelujah. Second Peter, can I look at chapter 1, verse 2 and 3? It says here, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. See, so see how important it is? Don't reject the knowledge. See, grace is multiplied to us through knowledge. Grace and peace will be multiplied unto you through the knowledge, through the truth. See, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. See, because they reject knowledge. Sometimes people of God reject knowledge. See how important it is not to reject the knowledge? Even if it isn't what we want to hear, we need to receive it if it's from God. Too much ignorance is being taught today. Too much ignorance is in the body of Christ today that shouldn't be being taught at all. But hey, it said of Jesus in the scripture that he learned obedience through that which he suffered or that which he went through. Are we any better than him? You know, God is raising up a people today and transforming them. And fire is necessary for that transformation. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He's not just gifting us, but he's also bringing forth his fullness in us, right? And that includes the fire as necessary. Yes, he's gifted us. He's given us the gift of the Spirit. He's given us so much. He freely gives to us his kingdom. And we're in the kingdom now, right now. The kingdom of God is within us. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. But are we rejecting the fire? Amen? The fire is necessary sometimes. And once we have the knowledge, and the fire is not God beating us up, okay? Don't misunderstand it. No, no. He's just putting the fire on the uncleanness in our lives, the things that you don't need to be dealt with, okay? And once we have the knowledge and the revelation knowledge of it, that our God is a consuming fire that burns the chaff up in our lives and purifies it, he is the refiner, and we need the refiner's fire, we are well on the road to transformation from glory to glory, see? And I know the fire hurt, but you know what? Our flesh is so strong and so stubborn sometimes that we must have a burning up of the flesh. We have to have a crucifying of the flesh, and we have to have the fire on us. And we need a Savior who not only saved us from the sin of our past, but he is continually saving us from the workings of our flesh. Because the flesh, you know, there's no good thing dwelling in there. There's demons in there. And we need to be thankful that we can experience a God who can reach down in your despair, in your disobedience, and he can bring anything into your life that he needs to for your correction, reproof, and transformation. Amen? Amen. Are you willing to let that take place? He's not going to abuse you. He doesn't do that. That's what the devil does. What he does, he brings in that correction with his word, with his out of his grace, and Revelation 3:18. It says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Gold tried in fire. We are going to come forth as gold. Oh, how we need to seek the Lord. Oh, how we need to seek God to give us a heart that hungers after him, that seeks first the kingdom of God. We should be able to say, I don't care what I have to go through or how hot the fire gets. I just want to shine with your glory, Lord. I want to touch the dead spiritually and the sick physically and bring your life and your healing power. I want to touch those who need deliverance and cast the demons out of them. You know, if you really spend time with him and allow the fire to burn, you will find yourself being transformed into his desire for your life. Will you allow that to take place? You know, we need to learn to turn our hearts moment by moment to the Lord, turn our spirit to the Lord continually, and our hearts, which is part of the soul, the mind, will, and the emotions. See, so that there could be a transformation of the mind, will, and the emotions in our lives. Amen. We'll find ourselves being transformed into his desire for our lives. That's what we need, see. And there are none of us so carnal here that we cannot turn our heart to him at least a little bit every day, right? A little every day you could turn yourself to the Lord. See, we're corrected so that we'll turn to him for his help, for his deliverance, for his supply of the Holy Spirit, rather than just get us to make New Year's resolutions coming up here of how we'll try harder and do better. Hey, trying harder is not going to get you anywhere, okay? I'm going to do better, Lord, next time. Right. You didn't do it last time. How are you going to do it this time? You need the power of the Holy Ghost in you, the power of the Holy Spirit. Our flesh can't do much better, no matter how hard it tries. We need God to transform us, to deliver us from the demon merry-go-round in our lives. As we go round and round, repeating the same thing year after year, month after month. Yeah, because we can't do better without a transformation. We can't do better without a deliverance. Amen? You'll find if you try saying, Lord, I'll do this today, and I won't do that anymore, you'll end up doing what you don't want to do. Paul said, I do what I don't want to do because of the sin that's in me, right? See, that doesn't work. You cannot save yourself from the works of your flesh. You know, would that be nice if we could, but we can't save ourselves from the works of the flesh. Paul said, in my flesh, well, it's no good things, and I'm doing the things I don't want to do. In Romans chapter 7, he says it, because of the sin that's dwelling alive within me, I'm in bondage to it. And only the Lord Jesus can deliver me, right? You can't save yourself from the work of your own flesh. That's why he died. We need a Savior to save us from ourselves, from our own bondages to our flesh. Our unruly flesh, our proud flesh, our self-pity flesh, our stubborn self, our rebellious self. Only through God is there the strength and the power to overcome the dictates of the flesh and live according to the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We'll not fulfill the dictates of the flesh. Right? See, that's in the Spirit. That's in God. That's in God that we overcome. It's not in and through our own ability. You're not going to do it of your own ability. It's not going to happen that way. You don't have it of your own strength. If you did, you wouldn't need Jesus. You wouldn't need a Savior. If you could do it all yourself, you could fix you. Why would you need Jesus? But you can't fix you, and you do need Jesus, right? That's a fact of the matter. We need the Lord. We need the Holy Ghost to work in us. We need him to change us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. We need him to work in our lives. And so we cry out for his work. And we allow the fire of God to burn to clean out the garbage in our lives through deliverance and through other ways that he does that. Oh, yeah, only through God is there strength and power to overcome the dictates of the flesh, right? Oh, yeah, and live according to the Spirit. That's one reason we're going to have to seek God. Know that every time that you seek God and you contact him in your spirit, from your spirit, something of his divine nature and essence is added and activated and released to your being, and there is a killing force released to your flesh. That's right. And we need to let that killing force take place. We need to let that flesh die daily. We need to let that killing force come forth. And we need to seek God and contact him, be in contact with him on a regular basis and have that releasing of the divine nature and the divine essence, you know, released to our being, out into our whole being, and let that killing power, Paul says, I die daily. Let that killing power be released. Amen. See, there's no other way to be an overcomer. We can't be an overcomer because we become so good enough for him and ourselves to please God and overcome the flesh. It just isn't going to happen. We're going to have to be transformed by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost and fire taking place in our lives. Oh, yeah. So don't perish for lack of receiving such a knowledge today. Is that about the fire? Is that about change? Let it come and burn. Don't remain stubborn and ignorant. You know, many believers are missing God because of their persistent stubbornness and rebellion. We don't want to be in a rebellious state. We don't want to allow ourselves to remain in a rebellious state, a rebellious condition, a condition such as witchcraft, right? Rebellion is that. Witchcraft? Come on. Not remain stubborn and ignorant. We're missing God. Don't do that. Don't you be of those ones that are rebellious and stubborn. You got to put a killing effect on that and then a casting out of it too. Will you seek God and ask him for a hungry heart today? Allow him to remove that stubbornness and to be delivered from that? Stubbornness is a curse and it's a demon, right? How long will you kick against the brick? God asked Paul, right? He said, how long are you going to kick against the dealings that I deal with you? Is what he's basically saying, against the Holy Spirit dealing with you, convicting you. How long will we resist the Holy Ghost and his dealings in our lives? And because we don't want to yield to him. We don't want to do what the Lord is saying. We don't want to go the way he's saying. But we have our own way that we want to go. And Acts 26:14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. See? It's hard for you to kick against the dealings of the Lord in our life. And that's what a lot of believers are doing today. They don't let the Lord deal with it because they got their own way and they want to do it their way and they want to stay in control and they want to be in control of their own life. They don't really want to yield control to the Lord. They don't want to let the prompting, the conviction of the Holy Spirit have their way in them. How long will we be stubborn and how long will we resist God dealing with us about change in our lives? How long will you kick against the prayer? That's what he told Paul. That's what he'll tell us in a lot of times, in a lot of conditions that we're in, that we allow ourselves to get into, or that demons cause us to get into because we yield to the demon. Some of you have such a strong feeling that you want to do something that you let it override the conviction and the direction of the Holy Spirit. You do what your feelings dictate. Yeah, some people get overwhelmed in the sexual area that way. They let their feelings dictate to them what they do. I mean, hey, once you start down that road of sexual sin, it's very hard to put the brakes on. If once you start getting involved in something sexually, that's why you should take the first look at the porno stuff. That's why you should take the first kiss with somebody in a situation where you're alone with him and you could commit fornication. You got to be on guard. See? You don't want to be in that situation. You don't want to let yourself. The Bible says to flee that situation, to run from it, to flee fornication. See? Oh, yeah. That's right. You let your feelings override the conviction and direction of, and the things that you know are wrong, you indulge. You know, you'll let in demons, folks, by repeatedly doing it. And God wants to bring a killing effect down on that flesh rule and those fleshly desires that you're so yielding so easily to because you've habitually been ruling to, yielding to these things. There's got to be a breaking point sometime where you break it off, where you say, no, I'm not going to yield to you by the power of the Spirit of God in me. I resist you, devil, and I'm not going to yield to you this time. But don't get already involved in it and then say, are you going to try to resist? You won't be able to. You got to stop it at the very beginning when the temptation comes into your mind. You got to resist the devil and he will flee. But once you already yield it to him a little bit, then it's just going to increase until you commit the act and you commit the sin. See? That's why you stop it in the beginning and nip it in the bud, right? As the old saying goes. So you're resisting God when you refuse to allow that to take place, like a rebellious child refusing to submit to their parents. You know what I'm talking about? That's what a lot of Christians are doing. I want to do what I want. It feels good. I want it. I want to do it. And yet you know better, but you do it anyway. You say things that you shouldn't say because you know better than say it, but you do it anyway. You get angry when you know you shouldn't get angry, but you get angry anyway. Now, these are signs of demons as well, as a stubborn self-will to do what you want in spite of the Lord. Well, I don't want to act that way. Well, you do it anyway. Why? You don't want to. But you could say, I don't want to sin all day long, and sin at the same time you're saying, I don't want to sin. See? There needs to be a killing effect on this stuff. You need to put it to death. You need to stop it. You need to cast it down. You put it to death and not let it to rule in your life. God will often tell us things we don't want to hear in the process of bringing us to maturity and deliverance. We don't want to hear it. We're all going to have to learn to listen to God if we're ever going to be brought into maturity. See, God is bringing his church into maturity. He says to grow up into Christ. That's what he told us to do. But how many of us are growing up into Christ? How many are rebelling against growing up into Christ? Because they don't want to grow up into Christ. They want to enjoy what they want to do. They want to do what their flesh wants to do. They want to continue indulging in things. Well, wait a minute. Do you want to truly walk with God? You want the kingdom of God to be a manifestation or the kingdom of Satan in your life? How many know that Christians can manifest the kingdom of Satan and still be in the kingdom of God in their spirit? Because in their flesh, they're manifesting the kingdom of Satan. Demons are in manifestation. They're part of the kingdom of Satan, and they're attached to you. You see what I mean? Oh, yeah. We need to grow. Well, you know, if we're ever going to be brought into maturity, folks, we've got to grow, especially now. In our training for the last days, living, we're living in the last days. We're training to live in it. We haven't already trained. We should be, so that we're not a casualty of war and fall away as so many will, because there is going to be a falling away. The Bible says that, right? The Bible speaks of a falling away. Before the return of the Lord, there will be a falling away. Don't be a victim to that. You want to be part of that. You don't want to give in to Satan because you're so used to giving in to him, because you haven't resisted him when you should have been resisting the devil so he flees from you. You should have been practicing getting him to flee instead of yielding to him, so that you're ready in the day of temptation. And then, having done all, you will stand in the day of temptation. You will stand in the evil day, on the evil day. And the evil day is coming to all of us. They come to all of us. We all face with it at times. Matthew 3:11, it says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. See, let the fire come and burn up the impurities in our life. Get them out through deliverance, through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We all want the Holy Ghost, right? But how many want the fire? Right. Not too many. But just like, you know, tongues goes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, fire and the Holy Ghost is what we will be baptized with. They go together also. Right? I mean, I believe that if you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're going to speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues because it comes with the package. How did the apostles know that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit when they received it? Well, for they heard them praying with tongues as they had. Spoke with tongues. That's how they knew that they Gentiles had received. And so they, Peter said, well, can any man forbid water baptism for these who have received the Holy Ghost as we have received? Well, how do you know that? Because they saw him praying with tongues too. They were speaking with tongues. And so, yeah, so the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I believe you're going to speak in tongues. I believe it comes with the package. Right? If you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're going to have your prayer language. You're going to have power. You're going to be baptized with fire, too. God wants to clean us up. Yeah. So I pray in tongues daily. Yeah, every day I pray in tongues. Paul says he prays in tongues more than you all. So he prayed in tongues a lot. But we can pray in tongues every day. We should be praying in tongues every day. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because you need the power in these latter days that we're living in. It's like no other days that we've ever lived in. These are days that are strange days, and you need God's power more than ever, because they're going to persecute Christians before this is all over. The Bible says it's going to happen. And you say, well, it won't happen in America. It's already happened in America. We're already being persecuted for our faith. We're already being attacked for our beliefs. Like they threatened to bomb those pro-life people in Austin, Texas, because they're standing up for their faith. They're standing up for the unborn. They're Christians. They're believers. They believe that in not killing babies. And now they're being persecuted for it. They want to kill them. They want to do away with them. People who don't want women to be allowed to get their abortion and offer to Satan, the little child to Satan. Yeah, really. That little one. Give it to the devil. The devil demands a sacrifice too. And he wants blood. He wants a human sacrifice. Human sacrifices haven't quit. They're rampant in America still. Too many babies are being aborted in this country. Too many babies are being offered up to Satan in this country. He's got to have his little sacrifice. And we need to stand against it, pray against it, rebuke it in Jesus' name. We rebuke the spirit of abortion in this nation. But it's not just in this nation. It's in the world. Many babies are aborted. And now they want to abort you and me. They want to vax us. They want to jab us and kill us. People are having heart failure. People are having blood clots. They're having all kinds of things, and they're trying not to blame it on the vaccine. But the fact of the matter, doctors are saying that it's from the vaccine. People are dying from the vaccine. Thousands have already died. And thousands and millions will, probably, before it's all over with. It's a tragedy. So Satan is getting his blood. He's not satisfied with just babies. He's going to get it one way or another with all that he can get. Death. People dying. People dying. That's what the devil wants. He wants us all to die, to just be done away with. He hates us. Man, especially the Christians, he hates us. But he hates all humankind because they're God's creation. Yeah. And he's under our feet if we'll put him there. And he doesn't like that idea that we can put him under our feet, that we can bind him. We can rebuke him. We can apply the blood against him. We can torment the enemy. He hates that thought. That's why all the more we need to be engaged in spiritual warfare. We need to let the devil have it in Jesus' name. Because the spirit is subject to us, and we have authority over the demons. He said, in my name you cast out devils. Amen. He told us to resist the devil. He said to cast down the vain imagination. Cast them down. Cast them down. Put him under our feet. So yeah, let your fire come and burn out the impurities through deliverance. And burning the stubborn and rebellion out of us, our agreement with them. You'll come forth like gold. You will come forth as gold. The Bible promised us that. With the divine nature, gold speaks to the divine nature. We're going to manifest the nature of Christ. We're going to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. That's the divine nature. Love, joy, it's all a fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of us. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a manifestation when we're yielded to the Holy Spirit in us. He'll bring forth the fruit of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, all these things are the fruit of the Spirit of God. And we will know people by their fruit. If they don't have the fruit of the Spirit, we know they're not born again. They're not manifesting Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Amen. I go on and on, but it's time to live in and from the kingdom of God. See, you then love the kingdom of God as you allow yourself to come forth as gold and you allow the fire, you allow him to bring change in your life, not just in mind, but in reality and in action. Amen. Not just in your mind. Oh, you need to love the kingdom of God in reality and action too. Faith without action is dead. So if you love the kingdom of God, you love the king of the kingdom, then you're going to manifest the life of Christ through you in action from the Holy Spirit. So we're living in and from the kingdom, from the power of the kingdom. The power of the kingdom is God, the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Your born-again spirit will manifest God through you if you allow that to take place. Not that you're God, certainly not. It's the Holy Spirit in you doing it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of God. So truly love the kingdom of God and hate evil. Hate the evil. The Bible commands us to hate evil. That's one reason people never really walk in the kingdom of God, is because they refuse to hate the evil. Therefore, there is evil attached to them because they haven't hated the evil yet. Until you hate the evil, there's going to be evil attached to your life because you don't hate it yet. Until you hate it, you're not out of agreement with it. See? And we're commanded in the Word of God to hate evil. Oh, I can't hate anything. Well, you better hate evil because that's a command of the Scripture. And God gives you grace and strength to do it. So what are you waiting for? Amen. Amen. Hate the evil, love the good. Love God, hate evil. That's simple. And that's how we can walk in victory. Amen. When you love the Lord with all your heart, right, with all your spirit, and you hate evil also with the same amount. You hate it with a passion, not in agreement with it. You're out of agreement with something you dislike. You hate. It's darkness. You don't want any part of it. See? You're not going around partaking of darkness all the time because you've got out of agreement because you hate it. See? It can't rule you as much when you hate it as it does when you haven't grown to the place where you hate evil, if you know what I'm talking about. Father, we thank you for the time and the word tonight, and we ask you to bless our time and deliverance in a moment as we enter into some deliverance time. In this time of year when many people are down and discouraged and are being attacked with all manner of spirits because of expectations, disappointments, and pressure and fear of the future and all the stuff going on that people have in their lives right now. I'm feeling like they can't make it. But I ask you to encourage those who get to that point where they feel like they can't make it anymore, where they're weary in their walk, and the enemy's just targeted them so much, and the attacks have been so fierce. Again, I pray for the dear one who broke his back and ask your healing to take place for them, for your glory in their life, Lord, that you are right now. In the name of Jesus, and bless them. We command the pain to go and let them be healed and be whole so quickly that it amazes people, amazes the doctor. Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, that we love your kingdom and we can manifest the kingdom of God that's within us right now. We can come forth and show it, the manifestation of God to the people of this earth. We can see signs, wonders, and miracles and deliverances take place. We can see the mighty God, the hand of God working even through us. And thank you that you love us so much, Lord. That you've granted so much grace to us. If we'll just walk in the knowledge of that grace and the knowledge of the truth, Lord, and not reject knowledge as Israel did. They rejected the knowledge and it caused them all kind of problems. But we don't want to reject knowledge. We don't want to perish for the lack of knowledge. We don't want to be like Israel was, Lord. And I know that a lot of people are today. Yeah, we're just repeating Israel, a lot of people. But, Lord, we're the body of Christ. We have a better covenant. We don't need to be repeating Israel. We need to be manifesting the Lord, Father. And give us grace to do that, Father, by the power of your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, I pray. And I give you all the glory, and I thank you for the time and the message, Lord. Now let's go to deliverance, Father, and set the people free tonight for your glory. Amen. For your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, folks. We'll get into the word here just a minute. I mean, into deliverance here just a minute. Let's have a short song and then we'll get into it.
We are troubled on every side. Yet not distressed, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And not in despair, not in despair.
All right. How about renouncing those spirits tonight? So I renounce those sexual spirits. I renounce that pride. I renounce the spirit of negativism. A lot of people, they just speak negative all the time. You know, and no wonder good things aren't happening in their life because they get so negative with their mouth. You know, and you just, God didn't call you to be negative. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't say, be negative and complain all the time. He didn't say that. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So maybe you have that negative stuff going on. Right? And maybe ask God to forgive you for that. Just confess it. Lord, I've been negative. I confess it as sin. And I thank you that your blood washes it all away. And now I'm out of agreement with it. Just, you've got to get out of agreement with these things if you're going to get free from them. You got to get out of agreement with whatever it is that seems to be your problem. You know, some people are complaining all the time. Some people are critical, way too critical. They're always criticizing somebody or something. You got a critical tongue. You know, we command that critical tongue right now to come out. Just renounce it. Just say, I renounce and I'm out of agreement with this critical tongue and I don't want it anymore. I command it to leave me in Jesus' name. Now you come out of it. That critical tongue. Come out right now, all the way out. That critical, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. That critical tongue, come out right now. That spirit of criticism, come out, come out, come out. Come out now, all the way out, all the way out. The spirit of criticism, come out in Jesus' name. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. All that critical spirit, you got to go right now. Loose them and let them go. In the name of Jesus, break your hold. All that negativism, you come out. That spirit of negativism, come out. Right now, that spirit of being negative, negative. Well, I'll probably never get delivered. I'm still having this problem. Well, you just curse yourself. You don't need to be saying that stuff about yourself. You say instead, I will be delivered of it. It will go in Jesus' name. Amen? Get out of agreement with these things and then tell them what they got to do. They got to go in Jesus' name. So all the way out of there, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that negativism, come out. In the name of Jesus, come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, up and out, up and out, up and out, in Jesus' name, go, go, come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. I rebuke, this is my mind, you need to say that over your mind, this is my mind, you will not wander, you will not be distracted in Jesus' name, this is my mind, you will do what I tell you to do. And we command the spirit of wandering mind, mind wandering, distracted mind, come out in the name of Jesus. The wandering mind, you come out of there right now. That wandering mind, we break that curse over the mind and we take dominion over the mind and we tell you, mind, you will do what you're told. And you will not wander. You will focus on the word of God. You will focus on the things of God. We command that spirit of wandering mind to come out. Come out, 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 all the way out. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Come out. The blood is against you right now. The blood is against you. We apply the blood of Jesus against mind wandering, the wandering mind. All the way out. All the way out. Come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name. Angels, sword these demons. Sword them right now. Command that distraction spirit to come out also, being distracted, so easily distracted from the things of God, distracted from focusing on the things that you need to focus on. Come out, all that distraction, come out. Spirit of distraction, come out, 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 come out of it, all the way out. Spirit of distraction. Spirit of distraction, come out in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all that distracting spirit. Try to distract you from your Bible study, distract you from praying, distract you from focusing on the things that really matter in life. Come out now, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus against you, demons. Come out now, come out, come out, come out. come out. Come out, all that loneliness. Some people are lonely, especially this time of year, holiday season time, when people get lonely. All that loneliness. You could be lonely with people all around you and still be lonely. Come out, all that loneliness. Come out. That spirit of loneliness, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out now. In Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Loneliness. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Jesus' name, come out, loneliness, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all that loneliness, all the way out, all the way out, the feeling of worthlessness, you just feel worthless about yourself, you come out, that worthlessness, come out, feeling worthless, feeling that you have no value, come out, in Jesus' name, come on, all that feeling of worthlessness, you come out, in Jesus' name, come out, you're defeated by the blood, come out, all the way out. All the way, come out of there, all the way out. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. All that feeling of worthlessness. Now, you're not worthless. God, Jesus died for you. So you're not worthless. You have great value or he wouldn't have paid the price for you. Amen. If you'd have been the only sinner, he would have died for you. That's how much he loves the human race. Come out of there, all the way out. Come out. Come out, all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. That sexual uncleanness, you come out. All the sexual perversion, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Perversion, uncleanness. All that perverse spirit, come out. Come out, the perverse spirit. Got to go. All that perversion, all the way out. Those sexual unclean spirits, go, go. The spirit of lust, the spirit of porno, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 come out. The fantasy lust of fantasizing in your mind, come out. All the way out, go. The masturbation, come out. The oral sex, come out. Come out, come out, come out of there. Out, all the way out, go. In Jesus' name, all the way out. The spirit of incest, come out. Spirit of incest, go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way. Go in the name of Jesus. Keep going. All those sexual spirits, go in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name, you have to go. Those lustful spirits, come out. Spirits of lust, come out. Jesus' name. Spirit of bestiality, come out. Jesus' name. Uncleanness, come out. 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 Homosexuality, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Lesbian spirit, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. In the name of Jesus, you got to go. You got to go. All these unclean sexual spirits, go. All that unclean sexual desires, you come out of there. That binds you. Those manifesting spirits that manifest. Those night spirits, those sexual night spirits, you come out right now. Those incubus, succubus spirits that give you wet dreams and unclean dreams, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, all the way out. Those spirits of spirit wife, spirit husband, you come out right now. Go, go to sexual marine spirits, those unclean marine spirits, come out in Jesus' name, come out. Come out, those water spirits, go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go all the way out, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. You workaholic spirit, come out. Workaholic, I bind you. You workaholic, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. That workaholic curse, we break the workaholic spirit. Always got to be working. You know, always got to be busy with work, 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 work. You go right now. All that workaholic, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there. All the way out. All the way up out of there. That pride, you come out. The spirit of pride would come against you. Pride right now. All that pride. Oh, I don't need deliverance. There's nothing wrong with me. Come out. All that pride, right. You come out of there. That deceiving pride, come out, come out, come out, pride. Come up and out of there. We break the curse of pride. We break the family pride. We break the religious pride. All that pride, come out, come out. Holier than thou pride, come out. That arrogant pride, come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out. Breathe them out. Come on, everybody, breathe them out. Take a few coughs. Get them moving. All the way out. Just take a few coughs. That helps get these spirits moving. Come on. All the way out. All those pride spirits, go. All those pride spirits, move out of there. Move, move, move. Keep moving. All pride, all rebellion, all stubbornness, come out. Come out. All that rebellion and stubbornness, come out. Come out. Come out. Spirit of rebellion, come out. Spirit of stubbornness, come out. Come out. Come out. All that stubborn spirit, in the name of Jesus, you come out of it right now. That stubborn spirit, all that stubbornness, we break the curse. Anybody called you a stubborn person, we break that curse. We break those word curses, those negative words spoken over you that called you stubborn. You come out of there right now in the name of Jesus. Come up out of there right now. Move, 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 move up out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Got to go, got to go, got to go right now. Move, move, move. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Stubborn spirits, come out. Come out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. That spirit of introvert, you come out. Come out, the introvert spirit. Go, you get so into yourself. It's just always finding fault with you and always self-examination. Come out. Come on. All the way out. All the way out. All that self-examination, over-examination, come out. Come out, come out, come out. I know there needs to be an examination whether we're in the faith or not, but this is where somebody's always looking at themselves, always finding fault, always looking at what they're doing, always looking how bad they are, how messed up they are. You come out of there right now. Stop that. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name. Take a few coughs. Let it go. All the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. All that introvert spirit, all that fault finding with self, fault finding with others, always looking for fault. Come out, come out, come out. Always fault finding. Come out. All that fault finding spirit. Come out. 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 All that spirit of disappointment, just feeling disappointed, let down in life. Things are just not working the way you wanted them to work, and you're feeling disappointed, all let down. You come out of there, that disappointment, come out. I bind that disappointment, come out in Jesus' name, all the way out. All that spirit of disappointment, I bind you, I rebuke you, come out, disappointment, all the way out. The Lord hasn't forgotten you. It's going to be all right. The Lord's hand is still on your life. You still love Jesus. Spirit of disappointment trying to just take you down into misery. And we rebuke that spirit of disappointment. I'm out right now. God hasn't forgotten about you. Sometimes you feel like God's forgotten. He hasn't forgotten. He loves you. He can work things out in your life. His hand's still on you. You've given him your life, then he hasn't forgot about you. He chose you. Before the foundation of the world, the Bible said, you're precious in his eyes. He is precious to him. He even said he's engraved you on the palms of his hands. I mean, you're ever before him. Jesus is up there right now making intercession for us, too, to the Father, that we're his children, see? We can come boldly into his presence, too, because of that. So that despair come out, too, all despair come out. You're a liar. All the self-pity and despair, come out, 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 come out. In the name of Jesus, come out of there, up and out, all the way out, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, he called us a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We're his chosen generation, and we're going to prevail. Amen? We're going to prevail. You're going to prevail. Got to have that mentality of I'm a winner, not a loser. You know, I'm a head, not the tail. I'm an overcomer, not an undercomer. Right? You got to have your proper attitude. If you don't have a proper attitude, you'll destroy yourself and let demons in. You just bring self-destruction in. because it's a negative world, folks, because the devil is God of this world. So you'll pick up that negativism really, really easily if you don't keep the proper confession with your mouth, for one thing, speaking the right things over yourself instead of the wrong negative things. It's easy to speak negative, but it's harder to speak the righteous truth about yourself, that I'm more than a conqueror, that I could do all things through Christ, that I'm blessed going in and coming out. I'm the head, not the tail. I have all my needs met according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He provides all my needs. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You need to be saying those things. Instead of saying your lack and your doubt and your unbelief and your fears and your anxiety, you're giving place to those devils. The spirits of anxiety, come out right now. Come on. Come out of there. The spirits of anxiety, I bind you. Come out of there in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. All those anxiety spirits. Let them go all the way out. Take a few coughs. Get them out. All those anxieties. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that anxiety spirit, go. All that fear spirit, come out. Come out, go. Come out, come out. I bind you. I break your hold over people's minds. Come out of their minds. Come out of their minds. The Lord thy God is with us. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. He will be with us till we go home or until he comes. Take us to be with him forever. Here, as we come down and rule and reign here for 1,000 years, you come out, all the way out. Go, go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, go. In the name of Jesus, you have to go all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, you have to keep coming out of there. In Jesus' name, we command you out. People don't want you. You have to go all the way out. All the way up out of there, in Jesus' name. Go, 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 in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. Come out. Come out. Come out. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. So you're disobeying the word of God when you're getting anxious and giving into anxiety and giving that place to that spirit of anxiety to come in. See? So is it any wonder they come in when we're living in disobedience on a continual basis of living in anxiety? Yeah, is it any wonder the spirits come in? We cannot live in anxiety. God said, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. He cares for you. You know that? God cares for you. Jesus cares for you. Oh, my, what a wonder that is. That ought to, you know, encourage you if you get the revelation of the truth of that God cares for you and to cast every care on you, for I care for you. I mean, wow, Jesus is going to take care of us. We're in the hand of the Father. We're in the hand of the Lord. He's going to take care of us. We can rest. We could just rest in him. We can know that he's got our back. His goodness and mercy is behind us. All the days of our life, he's blessing us, going in and coming out. Woo-wee. My, the promises of God are amazing. It's called amazing grace, I tell you. That spirit of worldliness, you come out. That spirit of unhappiness, come out right now. That spirit of unhappy, you're just unhappy all the time. Nothing makes you happy. That spirit of unhappiness, come out. Come out, come out. That spirit of sadness, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Walking around long-faced all the time. No walking at any joy, no walking at any real peace, but you just long face. Come out, that long face spirit. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out, that long faceness. Come out, that misery spirit. Come out. I think I'll just be miserable today. Oh, really? Is that what the Lord told you to do, be miserable today? Come out, all the way out. Is that what the word said? Thou shalt be miserable today. Oh, no, I think somebody else is telling you that. I think you listened to the wrong voice there. Yeah, demons tell you to be miserable so a misery spirit can come in. Come out. All that misery, I bind you. Come out. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the spirit of misery. In Jesus' name, we rebuke those spirits of misery. We rebuke strife. We rebuke that strife. We rebuke that ornery spirit, that orneriness. Just being ornery, hard to get along with, difficult. Come out. All that orneriness, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, that ornery spirit, you've got to go. Oh, all that religious harshness, being harsh with people, oh, and just being beating them down with the word of God and wearing them out, trying to wear them out with the word, and just using the word as an axe and a hammer to chop them up and beat them up. We rebuke that harshness. We rebuke that hardness, that religious hardness, religious harshness. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Go, go. I bind you. I break your hold over people. Come out. Come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. All the way up and out, up and out, up and out. All the way up out of there. Loose them and let it go. Let them go. Be weakened by the blood and leave in Jesus' name, demon. All the way out. Break your hold over the people that are wanting deliverance right now. They're getting deliverance. You can't hold on to them. They don't belong to you. They belong to Jesus. They're a child of God. I'm a child of God. They're a child of God. They're born again. They've asked Jesus in their heart. They've confessed their sin. They've repented. And now that they have a relationship with Jesus. Father, we thank you for this relationship we have with you, Father. We thank you that we're children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you for sealing this deliverance tonight that we've received, Father, that we'll keep what we got. We'll walk it out. We'll maintain our deliverance by the grace of God in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it all. Thank you for this evening that we shared together here. And thank you for blessing on every listener tonight. Father, bless them going in and coming out. Let them be blessed in the city and the country, at work and at home, driving down the streets, around them with the angels of God. And minister to them, Lord. Minister to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. We love you. We thank you for listening tonight, and we'll see you back next week. Hallelujah. Amen.
If I had 1,000 wishes and each of them came true, I would trade those 1,000 wishes for a moment with you. If I had 1,000 dreams of finest palaces above, dream of mine for a moment of your love.
Well, you know, he said, when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found of you. You know, that love is there. He wants to love you with his love. And it's there. You just get hungry for him to love you. He does love you. I mean, that is a fact, but sometimes you need to experience that love. I know I'm loved. I know that. I've experienced it. And there is so much more of it that we can experience. We just get hungry. We all want his love. So let's dig a little deeper because it's there. Right? Those pearls of great price are there to be found. We just have to go find them because they're there. Amen? Well, we love you tonight. And he loves you with a perfect love. Well, you have a blessed weekend and a blessed week next week, and we will see you back next week. Good night to you.